You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Hey guys, if we've never met, my name is Shalise and I'm one of the pastors here. And I am so excited to be kicking off week two of part two of the Prism series. If you've been with us over the last few weeks, we are in the midst of a series where over 9 weeks we are taking a look at three different passages of Scripture. And Pastor Mark and Pastor Derek and myself are all giving our own interpretations of each of those passages. The reason that we called it Prism is because we believe that the Word of God is like a prism. That whenever you shine light through it, it refracts into an array of color. And every time we turn the prism just a little bit, we can see something different. And I know we've said it over and over, the goal is not to tell you how clever we are or look, you know, what we can do with this story. But the goal of this entire series is to hopefully ignite a passion in you to turn the prism yourself. To maybe take a look at some scriptures that you've read before, seen before, and look for them in a new light. So we are in week two of the story of Jacob's ladder. And I've been thinking about this story since weeks and weeks since I knew that we were gonna do this series. And we almost had a disaster this week. I was in New York, and I don't know about you guys, but I do a lot of notes on my phone because I'm not one of those people, if I think of something, I'm gonna remember it like tomorrow. I'm not gonna remember it in like 5 minutes. So I always have notes out. Notes for everything, but I was thinking of ideas for this talk, and I'm writing them on my phone, and we're in New York, my husband and I, and we're going to see TJ and Dave, this improv comedy show, and I'm so excited to, you know, Instagram to show everybody how cool I am, and I pull out my phone that is no longer in my back pocket. And you know that moment of panic where you just go, oh no, where did I put that? It's in my purse, no big deal. Get out my massive purse. You know, it takes me 20 minutes to realize it's not in my purse. So I go back to the bathroom. It's not in the bathroom. I am full on panic mode. My husband comes down to find me. He's like, the show's gonna start. And I'm like, I don't have my phone. I'm on vacation in a foreign city. I'm scared. My phone is gone, you know. And he's like, I got it. I'll take care of it. I'm like, what are you going to do? You're not going to take care of, you know, because I'm starting to panic and I'm getting frustrated. And so my husband goes outside and all of a sudden I walk out and he's like, I got it. I'm like, what do you mean you got it? Like, what? And he goes, yeah, so I called your phone and somebody picked up and you left it in Washington Square Park on a bench. But the guy said he can't wait for you, so you got to go get it now. And I'm like, okay, bye, TJ and Dave. Thank you, great comedy show. I gotta go get my phone. And through a long series of events, it takes us about 40 minutes to get my phone. And this guy waited, like the nicest New Yorker ever. If that is not proof that a God exists, that this guy in New York like held my phone, I was like, oh my gosh, Jesus is real. He is in this place. We didn't know it, New York, but he is here. The day is safe. So this is my take, and thank goodness we have my notes, on the story of Jacob's ladder. We're going to pick up in Genesis 28, 10 through 17. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So we pick up in the story of Jacob, and through a series of really unfortunate events, Jacob finds himself on the run. He had stolen his brother's birthright. He had stolen his brother's blessing. The only thing keeping him from most certain death was his father, who is on his last days. And so Jacob's mother says to him, hey, you should go to Haran. This is where our family is. You know, we'll make the excuse like you're going to find a wife, but really we know you're running for your life. He says, go to Haran. And so he comes to a certain place. He hasn't quite made it yet on his journey, but he comes to a certain place and he stops and he has this crazy dream about a ladder and angels going up and down. Like, if that isn't a stress dream, I don't know what is. Like, anybody else stressed lately? Just me and two other. Yeah. You know that hashtag, like hashtag too blessed to be stressed? No, I am blessed and I am stressed. I am stressed because I am so blessed, you know. There's so many amazing things going on. I was talking to Holly Ann earlier today, and we were talking about, like, Jesus take the wheel. Like, that, I've been saying that so much. My husband and I are in the process of not only selling our house, but buying another house. You know, and you're just like, I don't know what I'm doing. This is adulting at the highest degree, you know. And then I'm in New York, and I'm like, oh, getting on the subway. Like, Jesus take the wheel. Like, I hope this gets me back to my Airbnb. I don't even know. You know, I'm trying to get on, like, am I getting on the F train? Am I getting on the A train? What is uptown? What is downtown? You know, and I'm going everywhere, and I'm trying to sign off on, like, termite inspection reports, and I'm just signing things. I'm like, oh, gosh, I hope I didn't just sign our house away. You know, I was like, and we'll give you $1 million for improvements. I'm like, sure, yeah, we'll do that. No problem. But we're supposed to be on vacation. You ever been on a vacation and it didn't feel? I feel like this is a recurring theme. The more I go on vacation, I realize, like, vacation doesn't really always feel like vacation. Vacation can be very, very stressful. But we had an awesome time. It was great. You know, my sister Corey's like, hey, we're going to walk to this little place for breakfast. I'm like, yeah, sounds great. She's like, you know, 10-minute walk. 45 minutes later, I'm like, my feet are killing me. It was not 10 minutes. It was like an hour. It was probably more like 20. But I'm not in good walking shape. You know, Lyft has ruined my feet because I'm like, please pick me up. Thank you. I'm going 5 blocks that way. Just drop me off in the corner. I'll walk around. I don't want people to know that I lifted all the way over here. But to add insult to injury, our flight gets delayed. So we're sitting in the airport, and I'm processing through this talk. And I'm like, God is in this place, and I just don't know it. You know, God's in the airport. He's in the delay. And so I'm trying to, like, shift the prism of my own perspective and try and see God in a place I normally would only see frustration. And I was like, okay, God, like, where are you? And I see the cutest girl you've ever seen. I know I say that about a lot of your kids, like, the cute, but, like, she was, like, extra cute. Her name was Dahlia. She was Indian. She was so precious. She had on the fanciest dress for flying I've ever seen. I'm, like, in sweatpants. I'm like, dang, girl, you look good. You know, she's 4. And so I go up to her, and I'm like, hey, like, how are you? You know, I said, I really love your dress. It's so pretty. She was like, thank you. And then she just, like, locks eye contact with me. She's got these cute little brown eyes, and she goes, do you like my shoes? I was like, I do like your shoes. Very cute, you know? And we're sitting in the airport. Paul was there. He can testify. I'm not making this up. And I'm like, God, where are you? You know, I'm not having, like, some intellectual conversation, you know, about God and life. And I'm watching Boss Baby with a 4-year-old, you know? And I'm thinking the whole time, like, at what point do I tell her about Jesus? You know, I'm like, you know who else came to earth as a baby? Jesus! It didn't go down like that. But we're in the airport. I'm using a backpack. Jacob's got a rock. He's having stress dreams galore. Genesis 28:12, he says, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord. And when I first read this passage of scripture, that part jumped out at me. It's a very interesting image. You have this ladder, angels going up, coming down. Scholars debate time and time again of what this could mean. And it's this image of God on top of this ladder, which is very indicative of how people would have viewed the gods back in the day. They would have viewed the gods as very distant, as very far off, as very removed. You only knew that the gods were present when they were either very pleased by your sacrifice or very angered. And Jacob is having this dream, and it's this view of a God who is very far, far off, who is very removed. But when I looked at, when I shifted the prism just a little bit, I was reading this passage over and over, and I noticed a footnote. You know those footnotes that you just kind of gloss over? Like, that's for somebody else who's smart, not me. I'm just reading, you know. But I noticed this footnote, and I read it again. And in Genesis 28:13, it says, "There above it stood the Lord," but I noticed this footnote, and it said that many translations read, "There beside him stood the Lord." And there are three very powerful truths that I pulled from this story. And the first truth that I pulled is that God is beside us. See, this would have been a revolutionary image for Jacob to conjure up. This was not an image of a God who was far off, or a God who was unattainable, or a God who was far removed. This was a new perspective for Jacob. It was a new shift of the prism for him of a God that was not over there, but a God that was right here. It would have been a radical idea to think that there is a God who comes to him, who stands right beside him. Not only is this image a vision, dream that Jacob has of a God potentially who's right next to him, it goes on to talk about this covenant that was made with Jacob's ancestors that was now going to be for him. In Genesis 28, 13 to 15, it says, "There beside him stood the Lord, and he said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you.'" For us to understand this story better, there's a second truth that we need to understand about the nature of God. And the second truth is that God cannot be untrue to his word. When God first comes to Jacob in this vision, this dream, he reveals to him, he says, "I am the God of your father, Isaac. I'm the God of your grandfather, Abraham." And he is reminding him of the covenant he made. The covenant was that your descendants would be as numerous as the sand, as expansive as space, that they would be unable to even be counted, but also that God would be with him wherever he goes. This was the promise made to Abraham, and now this is the promise made to Jacob. But we need to go back to the promise that was made to Abraham, because if you just look at it as a repeat, although it is very similar language, God does something so significant in the story when he makes this promise initially to Abraham, Jacob's grandfather. In Genesis 15, 9 through 11, says, "So the Lord said to him, 'Bring me a heifer or a cow, a goat and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon.' Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcass, but Abram drove them away." This is how covenants were made. Back before you had lawyers and you had contracts and all those documents I was signing as I got on the F train. It was the right train, by the way. But you had a covenant. And so what they would do is they would take these animals and they would cut them in half and they would lay them down by the side. And what would happen is that two people, whoever was entering into the covenant, would walk through the animals being sacrificed together. And they would say something essentially like, "If I don't keep my promise, let what has been done to these animals be done to me." Very powerful ceremony, not something we do very often. You know, I proposed that when I was buying my house to be super spiritual. Like, "Let's walk through these dead animals." And they're like, "No, thank you. Just DocuSign that for me." I said, "Okay." And it was super powerful. He says, so you have these animals, these carcasses, and two people walk through. And he says, if I don't keep my word, let be done to me what has been done to these animals. So Abraham is in this covenant with God. God says, set up the animals. Get it ready. We're going to make a covenant. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep. You see the parallel? And a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. Another stress dream. Oh, great, 400 years of suffering. Excellent. Where's the promise, right? Like, that's not the covenant you want to hear. Like, okay, so you're going to suffer for 400 years. Don't worry, it ends up being fine. You're going to die at a nice old age. But your family is going to be wandering. They're going to be foreigners. They're going to have no place to call home. But then verse 17 comes. It says, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, to your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi or the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. Did you catch it? He has this image and a smoking fire pot, thought to be the manifestation of God's presence alone, walks through the animals. See, when God was making this covenant with Abram, he said, I am making this covenant to you. This isn't about you and I keeping a promise to one another. When God passed through the animals alone, he said, this is about me making a promise to you. And this would have been revolutionary because their understanding of the gods was very transactional. I have to be good enough. I have to do the right thing in the right way. And this is the first moment in history where we see a God who has come and says, it doesn't matter what you do. I'm going to keep my promise to you. This is God's covenant. His promises to Abram, to Jacob, to Isaac, to us are not conditional upon our worthiness. His care and his love for this man was not conditional, thank goodness, on how good he was, because we know he wasn't very good. He was in the midst of crisis. He was making bad decision after bad decision. Abram, same thing, lying about his wife and who he was. And God comes and he says, I'm making a promise to you. And the third truth that we pick up from this, so we have that God is beside us. God cannot be untrue to his word. God made a promise that he would be with him, that he would do everything that he had promised to him. And the third truth is that God is found everywhere we look for him. In Genesis 28, it says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord was in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place. I don't know if that's the original Greek or Hebrew, but I love that it just says, how awesome is this place. He's like, God is here. It is awesome. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. I always wondered why it was that after having this dream that Jacob says that God was in this place. Like, I've had dreams about Ryan Gosling, but I never wake up and I'm like, Ryan Gosling was in this place. He was here. I was like, that's so weird. It was a dream, it was a vision, and yet God became so real to him in that moment that he declares, God is in this place. And I just didn't realize it. And I think it's because Jacob so desperately needed evidence of God in his life that he was looking for him. He so desperately needed God to show up in this moment that he became more aware of his presence. Have you ever just wanted proof that God was with you? Like, God, like, I'll do it as long as I know that you're in it. Like, if I know that you're in it, like, I'll do it, no problem. I need to know that this is you. I need to know that you're in this. I hear that all the time. Like, if I just knew what God wanted, I would do it. If I just knew where God was going, like, I would go there, I would be there, I would do that thing, I would pursue that place. Well, if it's true that God is found everywhere we look for him, Scripture speaks to that. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and with all of your soul." Jeremiah 29:13, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." I have this phrase that I say quite frequently. I say, you'll always find what you're looking for. You'll always find what you are looking for. I am a high school teacher, and I decided to do this new thing where I'm letting all the kids read their own books. And I know that sounds like chaos and turmoil, but you can only teach The Great Gatsby so many times before you're like, we get it. Okay. 16 times. Too many. 16 times is too many times. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to let all my kids read their own books, but I need to get some new books. And so I was talking to my kids about, you know, oh, what do you want to read? And I had this girl, and she's like, I want to read Jane Austen. I'm like, oh, no, she's awful. My husband loves Jane Austen. We could talk about it later, why I do not appreciate her as much as others do. But I said, but you know what there is? There's a book called Pride and Prejudice and Zombies that would be awesome. You should read that. She's like, great, do you have it? And I said, no, I don't. I wish I did. I would give it to you right now. Next class, two girls come in. We're talking about, what do you want to read? And she's like, I want to read Paper Towns by John Green. And the girl next to her was like, yeah, I want to read Paper Towns by John Green. Do you have that? And I was like, I don't. Can I interest you in The Odyssey? Very similar. No? Okay. And I was like, God, I feel like you're like it. I just knew. I knew it was the right thing to do. I knew I needed to get these books. I needed to get my kids to love reading for my own sake, for my sanity, for their sanity. And I just knew that it was the right thing to do. And I was like, God, you've got to be in this. You've got to be in this. So I'm driving to meet my husband, and I go and I stop at a thrift store on my way home from work. Tiny little thrift store. But I'm thinking, oh, they're going to have rows of books. You know, it's just going to be books everywhere. And then you realize nobody reads books anymore. Not even the thrift stores have books anymore. And I go in and I walk up to one bookcase. The first book sitting like this, staring at me, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. And I was like, Jesus is here! Oh my God! I was like, yes, God, you're here. So I called my dad. I was like, Dad, God is in the thrift store. I saw it. It's happening. Like, this is so much confirmation. And I said, you know what? There's another thrift store down the road. I'm gonna go see if God's in that thrift store too. And I'm like hyped. This is like 3 weeks ago. And I'm amped. And I drive to the next thrift store and I walk up to this bookcase. And there's like four bookcases. I'm like, what? I look. Two copies, Paper Towns, sitting right there. And I'm like, God is in this thrift store too! Like, I knew it! And I just like immediately start crying because I was like, this, like, that doesn't happen, you guys. That doesn't happen. You know, when you just need something and God just shows up and he's like, yeah, I care about this too. Yeah, I'm in the thrift store. I'm in this space. And maybe I would have found those books, but because I was looking for God, I think he showed up to show me, yeah, you're on the right track. Like, I'm in this too. You know, I'm standing in line, and this woman's like, whoa, you really like to read. I'm like, no, I don't read. I try and get kids to read, but I don't read. And I turn around, and she hands me $20. And I start crying again. I'm like, thank you. The children love you. Oh, God, you're in a thrift store? On like a random Friday when I needed you. And I was like, so if God can be found everywhere that we look for him, why isn't every day like my thrift store day? Why isn't it easy to see God in every single space? And I really wrestled with this. Have you ever been in that space where you're just like, God, like, I'm looking, but I'm not finding you. I don't see how you're working here. I don't see your work in my job. I don't see your work in this relationship. God, I don't see your, like, blessing in my finances. Like, I've been trying to find community. I've been trying to belong. I'm just, you know, I've been saying, Jesus, take the wheel, and I'm still driving. Like, where are you? And I think that the problem is, it's not that God isn't around. The problem is in the way that we identify God at work in us. See, God isn't always in the resolution. He's not always in the final product. God isn't always in the space where everything works out okay. God is in the process. He's in the mess. He's in the frustration. He's in the confusion. He's in every single aspect of it. And so when it says that he cannot be untrue to his word, he had just told Abram, 400 years, you're going to wander, you're going to suffer, you're going to feel disconnected. I'm still there. I'm still in that space of your life. And so when he comes to Jacob and he says, Jacob, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I will not leave here until I do what I have promised to you. We know that he's being true. And so even in those moments when you don't feel like God is working, he's working. Even in those moments where you don't see the way that he's moving and making all things work out for the good, he is making all things work for the good of those who love him, the good of those who've been called according to his purpose. And we're going to sing a song here in a minute, and I can't get it out of my head. And the line says, not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. How profound that Jacob wakes up and he says, God was in this place and I didn't even know it. How awesome is this place? And I wonder how many other spaces and places in our lives that God is present and we're just not aware of it. We've just forgotten that we are not forsaken. We've just forgotten that not for a minute does he not see us. Not for a minute has he not kept his promises to us. Not for a minute was he ever far off. Was he ever removed? Was he ever disconnected? He has always been right beside us. He has always been right next to us. He has never been untrue to his word. He has always been faithful. It doesn't matter how things are working out. He is still in the midst of all of that. And he has found every space that we look for him. We will find him. You will always find what you were looking for. I'm convinced of that. If you want to see God in an airport delay, you will see God in an airport delay. If you want to find God in a thrift store, you will find God in a thrift store. If you want to see God working and what's happening in our nation and these families that are being separated, you can find moments of God's people and the love of God permeating even these dark spaces to say, God is even in this place, and we just didn't know it. So if you bow your heads with me, I just want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray for the three different truths that we pull from the scripture when we turn the prism. Truth number one, if you're here this morning and you just needed to be reminded that you are not abandoned, that you are not forgotten, that you have not been forsaken, that God is right next to you. He is not far off, he is near. If you just need a reminder this morning that God is close to you, I just want you to put your hand up real quick. You can shoot it right back down. I want to pray with you this morning. If you just need a reminder that God is close to you, God, your promise says that you are one that stays closer than a brother. God, I thank you that you made a covenant to us, a promise to us that you would never leave us, that you would never forsake us. No matter how far we run, no matter how fast we try and get away from your calling, your presence, your word, God, you always pull us back to you. Maybe we become aware of your presence, Lord. For every person that raised their hand this morning that just needs to know that you are beside them, God, I pray that they would bump up to you today, that they would bump into you in the grocery store, that they would bump into you in their homes, that they would bump into you in their jobs, and that they would just be reminded that you are so near. God, closer than they can even imagine, that you're even here in this space right now. Like Jacob who awoke, God, I just ask for an awakening. God, that our hearts would be awakened to your presence. When scripture says, wake up, O sleeper, that we would awake and recognize your presence here in this space. God, in our lives. The second person I want to pray for today is anyone who just needs to be reminded of the promises of God. Scripture says that God's plans are to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future, that he has come that we may have life and life abundant. And so if you're here this morning and you just need to be reminded of those promises, that God is for you, that he has something for you, that he has someone for you, if you would just raise your hand real quick, I just want to pray with you. Amen. God, you see every hand that is raised of every person that just needs to be reminded, God, that you are always true to your word. You have not abandoned us or forsaken us, God, that you have something for us that is so good. God, and we just trust in that this morning, even when we don't see it. Even when it feels so far off, God, it feels like we're never going to get there. Even when it hasn't worked 100 times before, God, we know that you are faithful, God, that you will fulfill every promise you make. So for every person that just needs comfort this morning to know that your promises are for them, I just ask for that peace that passes understanding. And that third truth that God has found everywhere we look for him. If you're here this morning and you need to encounter God, maybe for the first time, maybe you've never said yes to Jesus, maybe you have no idea even what that means, but you can't escape the presence of God. It's like the universe is just crying out to you that there is a God who loves you, that you were created with intentionality, with purpose, with so much love and care, that you are seen, that you are known. Scripture says before you were even born, that he knit you together in your mother's womb. Every imperfection, every flaw, every quirk, he handcrafted you to perfection. And so if you're here and you just need to encounter God, maybe for the first time or in a new and fresh way, if you would just raise your hand, I want to pray for you as well this morning. Say, God, I just need you to show up. I need you to be here in this space. God, I pray for every person who just needs to know you. God, like the song says, come Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. God, this promise that you can bring dead things to life. God, that even dry bones could rise up and live when your spirit is present. God, so we just invite your spirit to be present in this space. God, we are all sitting here with needs. We're all sitting here because we have a desperate need for you. Some of us realize it more right now in this moment than others. But God, we are all here because we need you and we need your presence in our lives. God, we need to know that you are not far off, that you are close. God, we need to be reminded that you are in this place. God, and this place is awesome. This place is a place where we can come and meet with you and connect with you, the living God of the universe. And that you care. That you care enough to be close, to be found by us. God, may we find you when we seek you with all of our hearts. If you guys would stand up with me, we're gonna sing the song. It says, not for a minute was I forsaken. And I don't know about you, but it's easier for me to remember that on the good days. It's easy for me to remember that when everything works out perfectly. It's a lot harder to remember that when you're too blessed to be stressed. It's a lot harder to remember that God is present in the big things and in the small things. And so whatever you're experiencing this morning, I don't want you to overlook it. I don't want you to feel like it's not significant. Just because your stress might not be the same stress as somebody else's does not take away from your ability to feel, does not take away from the importance of whatever you are going through. So this morning as we sing this, not for a minute was I forsaken, that the Lord is in this place. My prayer is just that that would be our declaration. That big or small, no matter what's happening, that you would just be reminded that God is with you. His promises are for you. So our prayer team is going to be at the front. If you want to pray with anybody, I just invite you to come down during this next song. Before we do that, if you would just... I know a lot of people raise their hand for prayer, so that's a beautiful thing about being in community. If you don't want to come forward, maybe just find somebody next to you to pray with. But we're just going to reach out and kind of touch each other or get close to touching each other and just stand together and pray one more time before we sing this next song. So you just reach your hand out to your neighbor. God, how awesome is this place? How awesome is this city, this church, this tribe that we get to call home? God, I pray that every space this week that we look for you, that we would find you. God, just as a reminder and a declaration that you are not far off, but that God, when we seek you with all our hearts, we will find you. May this be our declaration, our anthem, God, that you are in this space. Dry bones would awaken as we sing this song together.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.